Well, Melvin, it's a joy again to be a spokesman for the kingdom, and I think I feel today like Paul felt when he was called by the Lord to be an apostle, to be sent to the Gentiles. He said, "I am the least among all of the apostles that God could have called." And that's how I feel today. But I'm thankful that I have the opportunity to speak today. And so today, brothers and sisters, I hope that you will join with me. And what we want to look at, and I'm going to give you our thoughts, and I'm going to give you the scriptures that we will be dealing with. So I have five different scriptures, and I will not have a chance to read all of those in these 18 to 20 minutes that I have to speak to you. So we will first study in Luke chapter 18, the first 12 verses. And then next, we will look at John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And then thirdly, we will look at John 17, verses 11 through 22. And then we will look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 12 through 14. And then the final scriptures, unless the Lord hand us something else, will be the 12th chapter of Acts, demonstrating what it is that prayer does. And that'll be verses 4 through 19. So join with me if you would. Father, I just come to you now. On this day, to ask for your help, that I might speak words that would be encouraging and lifting to somebody, and even cause some to turn from whatever they are doing to a new way of living. I pray that you will give power to the hearer and power to me as a speaker, that I might speak exactly what you want me to speak. And I give you praise for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And our theme tonight is when the church pray. When the church pray. Now listen to this so that as we walk through this with you, you'll understand what we mean by church. When the church pray, chains are broken. Lives are changed. And lives are unchained from doom stuff. So when the church pray, chains are broken. So I'm glad to be with you today. KRAJ 100.9 FM in the Antelope Valley. And I don't think you can come up with a better station to come up with on a Sunday morning when Brother Melvin present to you the word, not only from me, but from other pastors, and many of the wonderful songs. And my daughter, hopefully, will play one of her songs today that you might just enjoy what is going on. So come with us and let's take a walk and see what the Lord has done for us. Luke chapter 18. We're talking about the church now. Luke chapter 18, the first 12 verses, in particular verse 1. Listen to what Jesus said. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not to faint. And then he goes on in verse 2, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, nor there did he have any regard for man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine enemies. Verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Listen, she got this brother speaking to himself. Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she weary me. In other words, this lady gonna run me crazy if I don't do something for her. What the Lord Jesus is saying to us now, this is an individual, not necessarily a church, but we'll get to that part. And I think you already know that it takes every one of us, and at least two to three. The book says where two or three gather, I guess you could just go ahead on and call that a church. But when Jesus was dealing with this and when he set up the church, he had his 12 disciples with him. And so there were 12 of them plus he being with them. You could call it 13 if you want to. But at that point, in Matthew chapter 16 and 16 through about 20, where he speaks about setting up the church. Now, but remember this. Where I am right now, I am in support of my pastor, Rivers, who is the pastor of the Livingstone Cathedral of Worship. And I pastored there for 51 years. But had it not grown to many people, it could not be called a church, not really. Any church that is healthy and has the blood of Jesus flowing through its veins, that's the church, not the building. Not the building itself. That's just where the church meets. And I hope you got that. That's just where the church meets. So what I'm trying to say here is what makes a church is every person who accepts Christ as their personal Savior and began to walk consistent with him and began to pray and allow the Holy Spirit to take them over. That's what makes the church. So when you have a group of those kind of people together, you got something going and chains has to be broken. So now that's the teaching of Christ. Now watch here as we go to the next scripture. He said the thing that makes the church work is found in John chapter 13, and verse 34 and 35. Now listen what he says to that particular scripture, 34 and 35. He says, a new commandment. Now this is Jesus speaking. Now notice I just gave you what he said, and he gave an example of this guy. Now we find him saying what brings the church together. Here's what brings the church together. And he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. What you saying, Jesus? I guess if Jesus would be here, he would say, I'm glad you asked me, so that I can make sure you understand it. I have illustrated and demonstrated and shown you step by step what brings the church together to be a church. And that is when brothers and sisters have love one to another. And he says, not only that, but it identifies you. In verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples when you have love one to another. So now notice in Acts, Luke 18, he gave us an example. John chapter 13, he gives us the glue, if you want to call it glue, that brings the church together. Now I'm going to take you to John 17, and that's going to show you how he prayed for the church. Now watch. He taught us and gave us an example. Luke 18. He gave us what brings the church together, and that is you and I when we really love each other. And brothers and sisters, let me, before I go into John 14, I don't want to send the church down a downward road, but I can say this, there's really not a whole lot of people that really love each other in this day and time. I know I'm not the last word in everything. I know I'm not a totally good example, but I'm the best I know how to be. I had an opportunity on this particular day to pick up a lady whose husband is in the hospital, and they are not looking for him to stay around a long time. And she wanted to pay me, but I almost cried telling her no, and she's just going to have a fit to give me. She give it to me, and I give it back to her. And finally I said to her, if you really believe that I love you as a brother, keep your money. And that was the only way I could get her to do that. So this is what the Lord wants us to do. And now I'm going to take you to where he prayed for us. Look at John chapter 17. And you can look at verses 11 through 22. But I'm just going to pick out a few verses. Look at verse 11, 17 and 11. And now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. This is Jesus' long prayer for us, the church. Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you've given me, that they may be one as we are one. Brothers and sisters, Jesus demonstrated that we are to love like him, not like the 21st century growing up churches, if you please. But he wants us to love totally and completely and be willing to share with our brothers and sisters in a way many times that may even cost us. That's verse 11. Let's look at verse 21 and see what he says again. Verse 21, chapter 17, Jesus praying. I mean, the book says he prayed until sweat like big drops of blood came from his body when he was praying for his Father to keep the church. Verse 21, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also be in me, be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, because they have love that's beyond that of the regular people in the world. Now look at verse 22, still talking about one. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Ladies and gentlemen, I could stay right there for the rest of the sermon just to tell you that the Lord Jesus prayed to his Father because he had earlier asked, early in chapter 17, when he opened his prayer with the Father, he said, Lord, I want you to give me the glory that we had. Oh, I feel this. I feel this really deep in my soul. He said, Father, I want you to give me back that honor that you and I had in the beginning. Now, I have no idea when the beginning was, because that's too big for me to understand. The only thing I could understand could be considered as the beginning would be when he put on a fleshly body and the Lord honored him at that point. But here he's talking about the honor that you gave me, I have turned around, and these 12 that you gave me, that included Judas too, with his ugly self. And he said, I've given them back what you gave me. And I want you to know that I have given them the honor that you have given me. Now, going back and review again, Luke 18, he told us that we ought to always pray. John 13, he tells us that love binds us together. Real love binds us together. And by the way, folks, please hear me today. You may not believe this, but I do. And I hope that you'll change your mind if you don't believe it. That you can disagree and still love. Really love And in fact, you can disagree bitterly if you need to, and still love each other to the point that one will lay down their life for the other one. That's possible because Jesus told us he wanted us to love each other as he loved us. Now watch this. And then John 17, he prayed that prayer for us, prayed that long, arduous prayer that we might absolutely know and be kept by the Father. Now I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 1. Watch this. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now here we find our Lord in chapter 1. This is after the resurrection and all of that. Let's quickly look down at verse 6. When they therefore were come together, now this is after the resurrection of Christ and just before his ascension. Listen what they said. Listen to these selfish rabbits. Excuse me. Selfish rabbits. When they therefore were come together, they asking Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of it back to Israel? Will you give us the power back? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know now the time nor the season where the Father has in himself only. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, brothers and sisters, listen to this. Here's what he's saying to them. It ain't about you having power. It ain't about you being all of the big stuff that you would like to be looked at. What it is about is you being empowered to reach out and get those who are lost and bring them to the saving power of a living Savior who died, buried, resurrected, and ascended to his Father on behalf and in exchange and in pay for our sin. Now, later on we find that while they were standing there looking, Jesus had taken off in about verse 10. They were standing there looking, and here come two angels, and I'm going to close this out. And they says, hey, guys, what are you all doing? Did you know you need to be about your Father's business? Did you know that the same way you saw him go is the same way he's coming back? And you guys need to get busy. And they took off now, and in verse 12, they return unto Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room. And brothers and sisters, I won't read this any further, but you can read the rest of it for yourself. But what they said there is this. They prayed until they became one. Chapter 2, Acts chapter 12. Let's look at this very quickly. When they became one, the power fell, the Holy Spirit led them, and now we see Peter in jail because they wanted to take him out and kill him like it did James. But while he was there in prison, sleeping among, he was chained to two soldiers. And while he was chained, the angels taught him, and remember we told you, that when the church pray, chains are broken. And here's what happened. The church got together when they found out that they had Peter. The church got together and they began to pray. And when the angels came and spoke to Peter, his chains fell off. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have to close here. But I want to say to you this. Whatever it is that you may be going through, if you trust God, get you another brother or sister that you trust to pray with you and let them pray for you. So I want to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be with my brothers and sisters via the radio program. And I pray that you would touch them in such a way that they would know without a doubt in their mind that they have the power to break chains. And I thank you for it. And I ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Amen.